This is Lisa Fielding from News Radio WBBM in Chicago. And today's episode of Storyteller Studio is pretty special. Tim Larson's guests are about to share behind-the-scenes details of the Illinois Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and Museum on Route 66 in Joliet. The road to rock has been a long one, and that, of course, means a lot of great stories. I've had the pleasure of presenting Hall of Fame inductees into categories like music artists, songwriters, record companies, radio stations, and announcers, all from Illinois. The museum's collection is amazing and growing every day. Thanks to the contributions from so many, we're capturing Illinois' musical history on several levels. Today's podcast is yet another example. So crank up those speakers and enjoy Storyteller's Studio.
Hello and welcome to Storyteller Studio. Thank you very much, Lisa Fielding, for the nice custom intro today. I hit the road during April snow showers, sort of freezing rain stuff, so I could go to Joliet, Illinois. And why? Because over the last couple of years, they've been working very, very hard on the Illinois Rock and Roll Museum and Hall of Fame here at Route 66. And today, Ron Romero and Debbie Jo Erickson are the core for doing all of this. I have seen them several times coming and going, but now we've got a chance to sit down and hear the behind-the-scenes story and what is making all of this happen. So thank you guys for sitting down.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming in.
Every time you've been here, we've been busy.
A little bit. Yeah. You know, Ron's got a concert to do, and you're the fronting at the Rialto Square Theater during the induction ceremonies. Yeah, there's just a little bit going on, you know, because you have really, really unknown people performing at the induction ceremonies, you know, like Kevin Cronin. And
a lot of things are on the fly.
Yeah, and I'm being very, very sarcastic about those unknown people.
Right.
So I don't know where to start with this, except how did it all happen? Was this in a bar at a napkin? And they go, you know.
I've written a couple of songs that way, but no. No, actually, it was inspired by other museums, by the love of music, the love of economic development here. You know, we came to Joliet because of it's the third largest city. We're literally on what they call the crossroads of Mid-America. It's on the corner of Route 66 and, of course, Lincoln Highway, US 30. And we knew it would be good for our city. Many of these people are all my heroes. And some of the inspirations, you know, we talked about the Cleveland Rock and Roll Hall of Fame going there. Certainly every museum in Nashville. And lastly, going to Rick Nielsen's, Rick's Picks back in 2014 or whatever.
That
pushed me over the edge.
That was so good.
It was a great exhibit.
Oh, my. And I understand that you guys have come full circle with that Rick's Picks display.
Yes.
And that you got a grant and you're going to get the display cabinets.
Yeah, the display cabinets that held his guitars and all the great stuff. We got a grant this year for $180,000 and along with that comes the people that tell us how to assemble it, where to put it, and do all that good stuff. So we'll be filled up. And that grant requires that we have that in place by June of this year. So we're frantically working to get things prepared and ready to go.
Those things are not small. How are you going to get those things here? I can't imagine what that would take just in itself. Forget about setting it up.
Do you have an SUV? No,
not that big.
Pickup truck?
I know a guy at a trucking company.
There you go, yeah. Yeah, actually, we had another project that we worked on, which was our Gigantar. But we had a company here from Joliet called Legacy Trucking, and they drove all the way out there to pick up Gigantar. And we asked them if they would come and help us with the cabinets. And the owner, Isa, amazing guy, really big into the community, without hesitation said, let us know what day.
So he donated the truck, the driver, the time, the
gas,
everything.
It took him 2 days to get out there and a day or two to get back. And then, you know, we did the trip back up on Route 66 to do a little publicity on that. And
so didn't it come from Pennsylvania, New Jersey, somewhere?
New Jersey.
No kidding. Mm-hmm. So how is it, because that's the place where the person made it?
Yeah, so we hired Shannon McDonald, who is known as the world's greatest Beatles artist. She's done stuff for Cleveland. She's done stuff actually in Liverpool. She did stuff at the Hard Days Inn Hotel. She's done stuff at the Cavern Club, all sorts of places. She does something called hyper-realism painting.
Okay.
That if you put the picture next to it, you can't tell which one's the picture and which one's the drawing. She's a superb artist.
Hello. That's got to take a while.
Oh, yeah. But she designed this. You know, this was one of the projects, State of Illinois, DCEO, Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunity, wanted to give grants out to people who were tourist attractions. And they gave us the grant. It was a $90,000 grant for the Gigantar. She designed it from scratch. And it, if you look at it, it's designed to be to scale. So if we were to shrink that up, the frets end up where they should be. Oh. The neck is as long as it should be.
Okay.
The only weird thing about it is it's not a guitar body. It's it's in the shape of a Route 66 sign.
As it should be.
Yeah, right.
As it should be. So you're talking, what, 20 feet tall? This thing is giant.
24 feet.
24 feet. I know you ended up getting it here functionally, but you also got it here sexy-wise, too.
Yeah,
you did.
We reached out to our friends because it was a Route 66 grant. We wanted to the last leg of her trip to be on Route 66.
Oh, nice.
So we came over into Springfield and then came up Route 66 from Springfield to Joliet and stopped at a lot of the iconic locations, Motorheads down in on Springfield, which is an old Stuckey's and improved upon.
I may have been there once or twice.
Right?
I'm telling you.
Yeah, and then went through Lincoln, Illinois, Atlanta. Stopped in front of Tall Paul, who is one of the giants.
Yeah.
And then up through Bloomington Normal, stopped at Ryburn's Place. And then up into Joliet, went to the old Joliet prison and got a picture out there. We have a fabulous picture here in the museum that was taken by one of our volunteers.
Is that the night shot?
Yes.
No way. That's at the prison?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Come on.
Yeah.
And they didn't have any exterior lights there, so the police department pulled their cop cars up. And they put the lights on Gigantar in the back of the building, and it just came out the way it was. And you saw the puddle in front where there's a reflection of the guitar. You couldn't have staged that if you tried.
Did you get Jim Belushi and Dan Aykroyd to come in?
We need to, yeah.
That's the only thing that was missing.
Yeah. No,
it was fantastic.
And the great part of that is coming up Route 66, we meet so many great people, and we had interviews with TV stations and radio stations. And as we pulled into Bloomington, the police department gave us an escort into the city to go to the museum there and do photos there. And then they escorted us out into Normal. And when we got to Normal, they peeled off. And the Normal police department pulled in and gave us the escort through their town. So everybody took a little pride in what we were doing and helped to celebrate and share in that media and stuff. So it was incredible.
Got photos of it in front of launching pad.
Yeah.
Oh, Gemini Giant.
Wow.
And the mayors came out and they gave us hot chocolate. And then, you know, everybody's coming out to
say
hello.
It was a cool day in January.
Well, think of all those small towns that were a fringe benefit where they don't necessarily get the attention.
Well, they do with Route 66, obviously. And these were all iconic locations, very well-known locations. So we wanted to take that opportunity because when else are you going to be able to get that, you know, 24-foot guitar in front of one of these other locations?
No.
So to pay tribute to Route 66 in Illinois.
And we've become family with the Route 66 people. Mm-hmm. They're awesome, great people. And we thought it was good to be able to share some of that publicity and stuff.
Don't you think this whole thing has happened because you do find with any of these people, doesn't matter, you could pick anybody off the board, you find a commonality, obviously with music, or they're a construction company, and all of a sudden, they can help, which they never thought they could help before.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden they're in on it because of what they can bring to the table.
Absolutely. We have a sponsorship board in the museum that kind of names a few of the people that have helped out. And it's, again, a lot of pride. Yeah, I think people who get involved in this are two people. They're people who really are music lovers, music freaks like myself, or people who want to see the city of Joliet do good, because we're coming through this renovation and this renaissance time where we're bringing back to life a lot of old buildings, and they're creating some new attractions, and we're putting in this beautiful park. It's like $10 million just down the street from here.
Really?
It's a green space, you know, that we could use for concerts and other events, but it'll be a great attraction for downtown.
Wow.
Yeah.
And, you know, you've also brought in some partners, too. Pam Police would be a really good example. She has been 9 years, I think it is.
In the making.
On the documentary of Dick Biani, who has worked at every radio station in the United States, but predominantly in Chicago, WLS and WCFL. and you helped with her screening at the library.
Absolutely.
And you bring in those nice partners because, obviously, when you do your inductees, you not only have musicians and songwriters, but you have radio stations, radio announcers, record companies, you know, on and on and on down the line, and you've got that opportunity to grab those extra people and help them too. And
yeah.
God, that must be so cool.
Well, the funny thing about Pam Police is I've had so many conversations. I love her. She's a sweetheart. She's very passionate about what she's doing. And we'll oftentimes share stories of having to raise funds to get something done.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, so when she does things like that, we're happy to help out and show the video and, you know, try to help her in any way that we can. Important part of history that she's capturing, and you know, that's part of our mission.
It is.
Yeah.
Wasn't he part of your first year of inductees?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and Pam was there to accept.
She was, indeed, yeah.
Yeah, because I think Dick was maybe 90 years old at the time.
Yeah.
He's since passed away. But he wasn't able to come and do that.
Unfortunate, you know, we're a little late to the game. This is, I always say, I don't know how we got so lucky to be able to be the first ones to do the Illinois Rock and Roll Museum. It should have been done years ago. But, I mean, I'm glad that we're being able to capture that and honor and preserve and promote the people.
You know, being a charter member, being in sort of the ground floor on this, or at least I feel I am, I think, again, I sort of came late to the party, too, because I was not at the first year of inductees. I heard about it from Lisa Fielding.
Oh, right.
And, you know, she's a really good ambassador of telling people all
Absolutely.
The things that are
right,
happening.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then you find out afterwards, over the 3 years, that you've got people like Dick Biani, but also Larry Lujack, John Landecker, Bob Surratt, and those people I grew up with.
Yeah.
And so not only do you have Styx and Chuck Berry and those people, but it's people within your own industry, and I guess that's where you're coming in as a band member.
Yeah, I mean, we wanted to capture that, like everybody involved in the music industry, the people, as important as the people who wrote those great songs and sang those great songs are the radio personalities and DJs that played it and got it out there for us to hear.
They did.
You know, back in the day, we'd listen to WLS or WCFL, and we'd be flipping between the two stations to see what song was on.
Yeah,
and
that's it.
And thank you. I've got to say thank you. Back in WLS days, they had those little sheets of paper that had the...
Oh, Silver Dollar Survey?
Silver Dollar Surveys.
Yeah.
And you've contributed a few to us. So thank you very much for doing
that.
Yeah,
we've got quite a collection.
Yeah, not only on the WLS side, but on the WROK side.
Yeah.
WROK had their 100th birthday, and I spent most of my career there, had their 100th birthday in 2023, and there's a guy by the name of Mark Peabody, and he came up to what we were doing at the Edgebrook Shopping Center with Storytellers. He just sort of loved being part of all of that and seeing that, you know, and he goes, I will swear, if you come to my office tomorrow, I will go directly to this filing cabinet, and I've got a bunch of stuff that I think you'll like.
Yeah.
And I'm going, come on. He goes, no, swear to God, they're in mint condition. I bought these stereo equipment from an estate, and they say, you got to take the paper too, because the kids didn't want any of it.
Yeah.
And sure enough, he pulled it open, and it was WYFE in Rockford, WROK, and WLS. And they were in mint condition. There were a lot of duplicates. I said, you know what? I think maybe if I pull these WROK ones that are only Illinois bands.
Sure.
So you got the Buckinghams, and you got the Crying Shames, and you got, maybe it was Chuck Berry in there too, but there was like 8 or 9 of them that were Illinois bands. And I go, I'm going to send these
thank you for that.
To Joliet.
Yeah, they're great pieces, great historic pieces.
Yeah, so thank you, Mark.
Yeah,
because you never know how all that, you know, if you know a guy and then your conversation
Everybody
comes
knows
up,
a guy.
They do. They know a guy. That's right. How did you guys get Kevin Cronin from REO Speedwagon and Jim Peterick from Ides of March and Survivor? How did you get those guys so involved and back year after year after year? What's the purple Kool-Aid?
Well, part of that is that, you know, we reached out to them and tell them this is being done because of you guys. All that great music you guys wrote, this is one of the reasons why we want to do this. So they get involved. Kevin has, every one of them, have just been a pleasure to work with. It's one thing to meet your heroes and, you know, be in the room with them and talk to them. It's another thing to meet them and find out they're like the coolest guys around. You know, and they are. They are. So.
and they come back and they perform.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not like they're just sitting in the balcony and soaking it all in. They're part of what you're doing that night. And it's crazy. By the way, have you got a date for your 2024 induction ceremony?
We do. It's October 20th.
October 20th.
At the Rialto Square Theater.
Okay.
Again.
Okay.
Yes.
I don't know. This is April. Do you have a set amount of people in that template that you know are going to be here, like Jim and Kevin, but other people too, that, I don't know, you almost didn't think were on the map anymore, and all of a sudden they said yes.
Yeah.
We haven't made an official announcement yet.
You could make it official if you want to.
We could tell you maybe a few secrets.
You could.
When we induct people, there is a set amount of people that get inducted every year, and people ask, "Oh, you got to get more people in there." If we did that, it'd probably be a whole week of ceremony. So we have to do maybe six or so, seven of music, one from the radio, and things like that. But here's a couple things, and don't tell anybody. Don't let anybody know this. This is just between us.
Okay. So you people in the UK, close your ears.
Don't tell.
Don't tell anybody.
This is just us.
Okay.
So Susie Bagas, who is a country music star, is going to be there. She'll be inducted this year.
Oh.
We're going to be inducting Bo Diddley.
Hello.
Great music from him. And who's going to come out and do his tribute? None other than George Thorogood.
Wow, did you have to give up your firstborn on that one to get in, George?
Yeah.
Really? Wow.
And then another announcement that we had, and a big fan, this gentleman, his father was in the music industry for many years and wrote a lot of things. But Richard Marx, who had all sorts of hits and has a great catalog of music, talking to him and his manager, they're excited. They're coming out.
He's going
to
be here?
He's going to be here to actually accept... talk a little bit, perform a little bit.
Wow. You know, one of your drummers, I do not remember his name, but he's had high hair and it sort of died like a skunk.
That would be Greg Potter.
Greg, okay.
Yeah.
Very
we love you, Greg.
Teenage Radiation.
Yeah. Is it really?
Mm-hmm.
He was from the band with Steve Dahl's Teenage Radiation. That's
no
where he
way.
Came from. Yeah. And now he's the drummer with the Buddy Rich Orchestra.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Wow. He's fun to watch.
Yeah.
So as I was walking into the Rialto Theater, sort of down one of the sidewalks, he was coming out and sort of coming into a stage door with somebody else. And this tells you, I guess, the fan base that crosses within the industry. He was wound up telling this guy, he goes, "You are not going to believe who is the MC tonight." And he goes, "It's Bob Surratt. Do you remember listening to him on WLS?" And he was so excited. Well, so was the guy that he just told. He goes, "No way." And he goes, "Yes, he's going to be here." And it's that kind of stuff that's really sort of cool, too, that most people may not even see.
Yeah, absolutely. And Greg actually played... with the backup band, which I'm fortunate to be part of the backup band for the Stars That Come Out. It's one of the perks, I suppose. But he played with us, and we had 3/5 of REO Speedwagon, and we played with him, with the band.
Is this your ulterior motive?
Yes.
To do
it? Boy, that was a quick yes, wasn't it?
Yes.
Wow.
You know, growing up, people always wanted to, play like the Beatles or play with the Beatles. I'm like, we can make that happen with the Illinois Stars. They're all good people, and what an honor. I joke about it. It's like you stand on stage in front of 2,000 people playing with 3/5 of REO and Chuck Berry's son and, the guys from New Colony 6 and Jim Peterik. And I stare out there and I go, "How did I get here?"
Yeah.
And then I go, "Oh, yeah, I booked this." I remember how that happened now. So,
a friend of a friend of a friend. Yeah.
There's a Talking Head song. "How did I get here?"
Yeah. Obviously, coming from the radio industry, there were several times that I was in somewhere for an interview or whatever the case may be, or like a backstage where you take listeners backstage for a meet and greet. And you stand there and you go, "Wait a minute, I don't belong here. I can't believe they let me in the room."
I get that.
And then you take advantage of it a little bit, and then you leave because you just don't think that you're supposed to be there.
Well, and that happens at many levels. I was downstairs in the green room with Kevin Cronin and with Jim Peterik, and Lisa Fielding was there with us too. Oh. She actually snapped a couple of pictures of us, and I'm freaking out because I'm here with Kevin Cronin from REO and Jim Peterik from, his written songs for everybody.
Yeah, Ides of March and Survivor.
Ides of March and Survivor, 38 Special, all this stuff.
Yeah.
And Kevin, I'm geeking out because I'm here with my heroes. And Kevin was kind of sort of doing that with Jim Peterick. He was like, I remember coming to see you at this place, and you were a big inspiration on my how I wrote songs. And, like, he talked a lot about that stuff.
Yeah.
And
back then, concert tickets were $7.50 a piece, too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So to see that on different levels where... And the interesting thing I found out as you were talking about their ages and stuff, and there's like 1 year difference between the two guys, between Kevin and Jim.
Oh, my.
But you would think that maybe there was more because Jim was more like 60s with Ides March, 70s Ides
yes.
March, and then, you know, REO.
Huh.
They're musicians that have that mutual respect and admiration. Yeah, just lucky to be there with them.
And if it wasn't for you guys, they probably would not be sitting on the same couch together.
Well, I don't know. They were friends. They were friends.
But you get my point, though.
You know what?
At that moment in time.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
Because
exactly.
of us, maybe they wouldn't have played together and played, you know, we did a Shadows of Night song one time, and the next time we did a American Breed, Bend Me, Shape Me.
Oh, yeah. And I remember that.
Yeah.
That was very cool. That went on for a long time because... I think the band just got so caught up in it, they did.
That would be his lead.
That would be me.
They just kept.
I gotta want to leave
jamming.
Yet.
I know.
I know. There's only a verse and a chorus, but let's do it. You know, third
do
verse,
again,
same
again.
As the first.
Yeah. Hermits reference.
Yes.
Nice.
Yeah.
Wow. I did not foresee that one. By the way, speaking of unforeseen, when you started this thing, was it 3 years ago that you bought the building?
We bought it in 2019. And that was at the tail end of 2019. And then a few months later, we ran right into COVID and we got shut down for a year.
There's one of the unforeseens.
Yeah.
Right.
And this is not all about buying a building, throwing some paint on it, and filling it full of old stuff. It's not about that. It's so much more. What are some of the things that have been stumbling blocks?
Well, you know, we talked about we could have probably gone to Chicago and probably somebody would have donated a building or something. But there was reasons why we wanted to do it here in Joliet. We bought this building. It's part economic development. We're taking an old building that was built in 1930. It was built as a tank. It's solid as can be.
Oh.
But it also included old cloth wiring and plug fuses.
And
one bathroom for the entire... 20,000 square feet.
Yeah.
And as a woman, you don't see any of that connecting with anybody.
No.
No.
Not good.
That's not good.
Not good.
Yeah, you know, we got a company that came in, union company came in and donated the creating the new bathrooms for us, putting in the plumbing and stuff. And but when we did that, we found out that the water that filled the building was coming through a 1-inch pipe, which is not much for 6-7 bathrooms in a building.
That's
plus
a garden hose.
It is. It is, exactly.
Yeah, literally.
It is. And then to meet code, we have to have sprinkler systems. So we're retrofitting an old 1930 building with a sprinkler system. So we had to bring in a 6-inch water line, and as it turns out, is across the street. And as you may know, we're on the corner, what they call the crossroads of Mid-America, and that's the corners of Route 66 and US 30, which is the Lincoln Highway.
Okay.
Which means that we deal with Illinois Department of Transportation to shut down the streets. And get permits and do all that stuff. So it's not cheap.
And you don't do that over a weekend.
It's not a weekend project.
No.
So we had to send it to engineering. It had to be approved by the city. Then the city had to send it to the state. And then, you know, of course, the contractor gives us the bill, and it's $125,000 to bring a 6-inch water line. Maybe, I don't know, 100 feet tops, something like that.
Wow.
But we were very fortunate to get an ARPA grant from the Will County that helped us with that project.
Okay.
So we got that in progress. You know, the guitar that we talked about a little bit that was a project that was a $90,000 grant from Department of DCEO. We've got another $250,000 coming from the state to help with heating and air conditioning and some other projects that we have here. So we're starting to hit some of those big grants now to get the big projects, the infrastructure stuff done.
Wow, good for you guys.
Yeah.
And you're hanging with it. That's the thing. You had probably five different reasons to go, you know what, this is It's too much.
You think only five? No. There's many days, and I'll say right now in front of her, thank you, Debbie Jo, for keeping me cool on many of those days, because there's some days that I feel like I'm burning out, but this project, I love it so much, you just can't quit. So,
the light is at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, good.
And this time it's not the train coming at us.
Yeah. You've had that.
We have that water project, and when we didn't know about it until after we bought the building. So, I mean, it's like getting a punch in the face. You got to come up with $125,000 to do this. It's like $120,000. What are we come up with? I've talked about this before. I'm not a developer. I'm not a rich man. I didn't come into this saying I'm going to make millions and we've got millions to put into this. This is being put together and supported through charter memberships, through merchandise sales, through community, like our trades unions, mm-hmm. And then whatever county grants and grants that we can get, state grants and things like that.
But so you guys put out an energy, and I don't know if it is just organic and that's just the way it happens, or you are really, really, really intentional about it, but I think that pulls people in. And they almost can't help it. Let's say, for instance, it's a contractor. And they go, I can't do anything. The only thing I do is write a check, right? And then all of a sudden you need something hauled. Well, guess what I have? I have trucks.
Yeah.
You know, that type of thing. And now all of a sudden they're in. They feel like they're part of the quote-unquote museum family because it's part of the building of it. It's not like the doors open and they're just writing a check. They're making it happen. And there's a certain feeling.
There's two people that really support the museum. I mentioned this already, the music freaks. They love music as much as I do. But the other people who believe in the economic development, a lot of the people, for instance, the truck driver that went to go pick up our Gigantar is from our community.
Yeah.
And he knows what that means to bring this here, and what it'll do for the city and for our fellow businesses down the street here.
And what a cool thing for him to have on his business resume.
Yeah.
And on his personal experience. You know, somebody somewhere along the line is going to say, my dad was responsible for getting that here, or my grandfather was responsible for getting that here.
A little pride in ownership, pride in, being part of this.
It is. And when we were talking about unforeseeable things, I can't remember whether it was the second class or the third class of inductees, but I was sitting in the seventh row, and things probably didn't go as well as you guys had planned. And I think that was the year that Styx was going to be inducted.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And also Dennis DeYoung as a songwriter, and neither one of them showed up. What happened?
Yeah. So the first thing was Dennis planned on being there. He was going to be there. But he was doing his show, The Hunchback of Notre Dame, in Milwaukee.
Oh.
And after the first night of opening, he walked out of the theater and took a spill and broke his shoulder.
Oh, my.
So we went and saw him the next day. And sure enough, he was all wrapped up and, in a lot of pain, pretty much stuck in Milwaukee, couldn't take the trip back or do anything. So he apologized.
Okay.
But he's been a great supporter. He's, we talk to him on occasion and he's really excited about this project as well, too. But
so he made it happen, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
he did the video thing.
He was able to do the video, and he even mentioned, here I am with my sling.
Yeah.
So he's got one of those minds that I really appreciate. It's a very ADD mind. He's all over the place and talking about a million things. And I'm like, I think I can follow this guy because I've got the same problem. ADD.
Can you only imagine having Dennis DeYoung and Rick Nielsen in the same room?
Oh, boy.
It's something to think about.
Yeah,
oh, my
is.
Goodness.
Yeah, it is.
Those two guys,
don't think about it for long.
That would be cool.
No. Yeah. Well, no, we won't think about it, and they won't think about it for very long.
No, yeah, they won't. Yeah. That's true.
No, two great guys. Yeah.
And tell me the story about the Styx induction presentation, for lack of a better term.
So I got a call from the manager from Styx who said they can't come that night, but they're playing the night before in nearby Tinley Park at a theater.
Okay.
And what would you think about coming out there and inducting them there? And I'm like, sure, that would be great. He goes, well, there'll be about 18,000 people you'll come up on stage and induct them in front of.
Oh, this is not a dressing room thing.
It is not.
Oh.
So it was the knee-jerk reaction, of course, is, yes, I'll be there. And then the reality sets in, and it's like, oh, my God, 18,000 people. It went well. They had people that kind of, handlers there that, you have to be on stage at this time and you move over here and get your microphone, go over here, make your announcement, get off stage. And like, it was real quick.
Hit your mark.
But the fun part of that was telling them in front of 18,000 people, you guys are one of the reasons I wanted to do this museum. Oh. Your music, you know, is part of, you know, our lifetime soundtrack.
Yeah.
And we really appreciate that. But then mentioning in front of the crowd that people like you and REO Speedwagon, who had been inducted the year before and was on that same concert, by the way.
Oh.
They were on that same. And some of the other names, Buddy Guy and Muddy Waters. And every time I'd mention an artist, the crowd would react.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, this is exciting.
Yeah. Because they're really Illinois exciting. People.
They're all Illinois people.
They get it.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that was incredible. And then you know, get off stage and it's like, did that really just happen?
Well, and that's why they don't give you long. Because if it sinks in, you'll sort of wet your pants and then everything's really bad.
And I'd want to jam with the band.
That's right.
Where's my guitar?
Why is he picking up a guitar?
That's right.
This is not in the script.
It went well. Excited about it. And it was just another opportunity that, carries a long way. It's on our Facebook page. I'm sorry, our YouTube page.
Okay.
You can go there and you can see me on stage. I'm told I looked pretty, calm. The truth is no. So looks are deceiving, but it was a fun time.
Well, I'll tell you, there's another Dennis DeYoung branch to this. Lisa Fielding and Joe Soto were doing the presentations that particular night, and I'm walking out with them at the Rialto Theater, and we're sort of on the sidewalk. Here comes this gal that is just dressed to the nines in high heels, and she's running towards us. And she says, are you guys the presenters? And I said, well, I'm not, but these two guys are. And she motions to this guy that's down the sidewalk, and he goes, come on, it's them, come on. So here he comes with his phone, and he holds the phone in front of Lisa Fielding and says, somebody wants to talk to you. And the ID on the phone was Dennis DeYoung. And Lisa looks at me going, this is not Dennis DeYoung. And I go, no, I think it is. It's the same voice we just heard on the video. And he wanted to just simply say, thank you very much for whatever part you played tonight. I'm sorry I couldn't be there, blah, blah, blah. And this guy was one of his roadies and helped him out with music videos. And that's how I knew him.
And that's the kind of guy he is.
Is he really?
Yes.
Wow.
He actually texted and called me that night, too, and said, I wish you well. I'm so sorry I can't be there. I wish I was there. And, it's pretty surreal getting that phone call, too, to say that. Very thankful. I think his acceptance speech on video was very sincere.
It was.
And I think he enjoys what we're doing here and, big supporter.
He'll probably be back on one level or another.
We hope so.
I know,
last time I talked to him, he's not doing much touring. He's not doing any touring. He's not doing any performances live and stuff.
No, but honestly, all he's got to do is show up in a room and people would love to do that.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah. It wasn't too awful long ago that Linda Ronstadt just did not understand why the whole auditorium was sold out when all she was going to do is go on stage and have a conversation with somebody.
Doesn't matter. It's just the history. Yeah.
But she's going, why would somebody want to do this? Yeah. Well, it's because you're Linda Ronstadt. That's why.
Absolutely.
Well, speaking of phone calls, tell them about the phone call that we got our inaugural year.
Oh, so we got a call from Joe Mantegna, the actor.
Hello.
From, of course, Criminal Minds and Godfather 3 and all sorts of
Bleacher Bums.
They did the SNL.
What's the tie-in?
The Bears. He was the first one to do the Bears.
Did he really?
SNL. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
Great. So he called in and he said, just calling. He says, I've been watching what you've been doing in Illinois there for the Illinois music scene. He says, I don't know if you know this, but he says, I used to play in a band. And I said, oh, yeah, you played it with the Apocryphals. And he was like, you remember that? And I go, yeah, I mean, I know something. I'm the president of the museum. But he was real cool about it and said he wanted to help out. So he's been helping promoting by doing videos and lending his face and his voice to some of our promotions and really getting out there. So really appreciative.
Oh, man, that is so good.
And I've gotten calls from him since. One night I was sitting on the couch with my wife and she called we were talking maybe 15 minutes about the Hall of Fame in the next half hour or so about bass guitars. At the end of the conversation, he apologizes and says, hey, I don't get a chance to talk rock and roll very often. So I thought, I'm like, call me anytime. I don't care what we talk about.
Yeah, it does not matter.
It doesn't matter.
Wow.
I got off the phone. My wife looks over at me. She goes, does it ever occur to you who's calling you these days?
You want to share your contact list with me? Because I got a feeling there's some other ones. How did you guys get together to be able to start this project?
Well, let's tell that story.
So I am affiliated with the Rialto Square Theater here in Joliet.
Okay.
And Ron was doing the audio and visual of the recording of the meetings, the board meetings there. So we were sitting around one evening, and he was telling me about the museum, his concept of what he wanted to do. And I said, well, it sounds like you need somebody with a tourism background, which is me, which is what I've been doing for a couple of years. So, yeah, here we are today, and I am still drinking that Kool-Aid.
That is a quick interview. Wow.
Yeah, it was.
How long did it take you to say yes?
Immediately.
Wow.
There was no hesitation.
Good for you
this
guys.
This is awesome.
I'll tell you one thing, too, this is a side note. It has nothing to do with what we've already been talking about. But when I went to one of the induction ceremonies, you guys were hawking your goods. You had a sexy hallway going down the Rialto Theater. I mean, it's already beautiful on top of it. But you had backdrops for people to take their pictures. And guess what? They're going to publicize you guys.
That's right.
Yeah,
absolutely.
But then you also had a sort of a souvenir stand type thing.
We did a merch table, yeah.
Yeah, maybe four or five different designs. But one of the T-shirts that I bought has Abraham Lincoln wearing headphones. Well, I'm already in. And this is, as an Illinois native, it drives me crazy when people say, oh, you're from Illinois.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, it was so creatively done with the noise of music and the Illinois. Oh, good for you guys.
Because we are putting the noise back in Illinois.
You are. Yeah. You are. You are. There's somebody that took it out, but you're going to put it back in again.
That's right.
So congratulations on the creativity. And who's ever helping you with graphics and displays.
Yeah.
You can tell that there's a lot of thought going
on. Those guys
into
are amazing. There are two guys that sit on our board of directors, Larry Williams and Eric Enervold. The cool thing is I can tell them an idea that I have in my head. And we've walked you through the museum. So you've seen things like the Muddy Waters shack.
Yeah.
That was, you know, I wanted to tell that story and they designed that. And I'm like, oh, that's a great idea. But it took forever to get done, and I didn't think it was going to happen. So at one point, I said, no, we're going to have to nix this project and move on. Mm. We got to keep moving. One of the guys said, I'll find somebody, we'll get it done. And I'm glad they did because, you know, their visual representation of what I was in thinking about, what the story I wanted to tell, was just beyond what I could imagine.
It is a wow thing when you first come into the museum, and that's exactly what you want. Mm-hmm. And then everything will just sort of fall into place from there. Do you have a lot of things in storage that you still have to figure out a way how to display it?
Yes, absolutely. We've got a lot of things in storage waiting to come out. We've got a lot of calls that we have to make because people are waiting for the cabinets to come in that we could put things in there, but we didn't bring them in yet.
Okay.
So we've got a lot of artifacts that are...
How do people get involved? If they are one person sitting in their car listening to this podcast and they are in Poland or Florida, how do they get involved? Because maybe they just like your passion. Maybe they used to live in Illinois. Who knows the connection? Doesn't matter. I know roadtorock.org is your website, but how do you want them to be involved?
So let me say, I'll turn that over to Debbie Jo, but before I say that, I just want to say that our charter members are what keep us alive here. I mean, they're paying for the, their memberships help us to pay mortgage and electric and gas, help us carry on programs and do a lot of different things, you know, and the sponsors and everybody like that. So without them, we wouldn't be here. We're not completely open yet, but we exist and we're able to make all these payments in the meantime. So we're very thankful to what they do. But there's good things about that because you get, there's some perks. You can get discounts at the restaurants here in Joliet. You can get a watch battery across the street at the jewelry store or glasses at the Eyeglass Vision Center across the street.
Voting privileges.
The voting privileges are a very big thing for us. So they vote for the Hall of Famers and the inductees. But Debbie Jo.
So roadtorock.org, go to become a member. There are multiple levels with different price points for those memberships, either an individual, senior individual, anyone over 60, and then senior couples or just a couple, family memberships, and you can either do it by an annual renewable or as a lifetime membership. And like Ron was talking about, with that comes the perk of you being able to then vote. So the way the Hall of Fame induction takes place, nominees are collected by the general public in the fall, And then after that, it goes to our committee, our Hall of Fame committee, and to verify that each individual that has been indeed nominated meets those criteria mm-hmm. of what, which you'll also see on the website. And only the charter members of the museum are the ones that are voting those people in. Mm-hmm. And then we make that announcement, which is, you've heard it here first, coming up. But then the tickets go on sale. But what keeps us rolling as well as those memberships are some of the events that we produce. Those are all fundraisers for us as well.
Okay.
And again, those charter members, they have kept the lights on, the gas and keeping us warm in the wintertime while we're still here, even though we're not, you know, like right now we're on a wintertime for our tourism. We're only open 3 days a week. Mm-hmm. Once we hit May 1st, we'll be back open 6 days a week.
You know what's really funny about this, too, is my podcast partner on Life's 3x5s is Liz Wilder. She's a charter member, too. Whenever she gets the email of the ballot is ready, mm-hmm. she will be the first one on the phone, and she says, just so you know,
yeah.
Earth, Wind, and Fire is nominated, or yeah. whoever right, right. for that, because yeah. sure. she gets so excited about it. Yeah. It's like, that's what
we
you
have
want.
A lot of great music in
yeah.
Illinois.
Yeah. yeah, that's what, and a lot of it, you just don't even know about it. It's an educational thing. Speaking of, you guys sort of have an educational level that is part of your program, and I'm not so sure it's part of the third floor where the performance area is, but there's some things you've got in the works for that,
too. We didn't
too.
Get to that part of the tour with you yet. We're going to
we
take you
not.
There. So that's yeah. actually in our lower level for the education stuff. We have lesson rooms down there. We have a stage down there to perform.
Okay.
And the stage can also be used as like classroom setting where we could do something like teach songwriting and maybe have Jim Peterick come in and talk. We have one coming up that's called the Art of the Mix. And that's about mixing sound for recording. And we brought in Frank Pappalardo, who has worked with everybody from Train to, let's see, who else? Chicago, Bon Jovi. I mean, big names.
As a sound engineer?
As a sound engineer. Yeah, he works.
Whoa.
He's a sound engineer for Ides of March as well. We're talking about our friend Jim Peterick. He's a
wow.
soundman. But he's going to come in and talk about recording that's actually being put on by the company Tascam that does recording gear. So besides instruments, we want to teach students, I mean, opportunities. This is a place for them to get their feet wet, to learn maybe management for a band, intellectual property, how to manage that kind of stuff. There's a lot of things in the music industry you can do, and you don't have to be a rock star.
No.
There's a lot of things
no,
to do.
No, I know.
Yeah.
Well, and Eric is sitting here and recording.
He's a rock star, though.
There's the difference. There's the difference. The long hair and the nice smile. There you go.
So Eric has come to us through our education program, and he is an intern here. And he's helping us immensely, especially with our radio station, which is roadtorockradio.net.
All Illinois artists.
Absolutely.
And you can obviously just go to the website, just hit the button, listen, and you're good to go. Mm-hmm.
And it's not, the funny thing is we don't do by genre, so you don't hear rock, you don't hear jazz, you hear anybody that has ties to Illinois. So you might hear, believe it or not, somebody like Louis Armstrong right next to the Smashing Pumpkins.
Right next to Dan Fogelberg.
Right next
That's
to Dan
right.
Fogelberg.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
And
yeah.
Earth, Wind, and Fire.
And are you running that solely music, or is there voices? Did Bob Surratt or those kind of people help you with that?
Yeah, we actually have some, and this is part of Eric's job, too, is he programs in. We have a group coming that's called the Rock and Roll Chicago Podcast that does interviews with bands from Illinois.
Okay.
So those interviews are on there. You'll hear Bob Surratt get on there, and so you're listening, too.
Nice.
Roadtorockradio.net.
Nice.
Robin Robinson. There's a lot of personalities that do voiceovers on that for us. Lisa Fielding, of course, does a lot of good stuff for us, too. So, and it runs 24/7. Just turn it on and give it a listen.
Let it go.
Besides the radio station, our YouTube channel has a lot of very, very informative interviews and documentaries on the Illinois music.
We use a term called edutainment. It's educational, but it's entertainment. So,
did you steal that from Joe Chambers down in Nashville?
Did he use that before?
No, I'm just making it up.
just I thought I said that first. I was trying to figure out who I had to sue. It's just, actually, it was a marketing team thing that told us that.
Wait a minute. You think you need to sue somebody because Cleveland wanted to sue you?
Yeah, yeah.
Well,
that was an interesting thing.
I bet it was.
So I'm sitting in my office at home, and before we had the museum, and I let out a big yelp, and my wife goes, "What?" And I go, Cleveland just sent us a cease and desist. Why? And I said, because we're the Illinois Rock and Roll Museum on Route 66, and they think it's too close to Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Thankfully, we have attorneys on our board, and I took it to them, and I'm like, listen, first of all, Route 66 ends 8 hours before you get to Cleveland. We use the name Illinois in our name, and we're Rock and Roll Museum, not Hall of Fame. That happens to have a Hall of Fame.
Right.
And
did you just mail them a map and go, stop?
Not so much.
Can't do that?
Well,
okay.
You know, I kind of figure that they probably have, you know, Google alerts that when something comes up, they watch and they probably automatically send things out.
Yeah.
But my wife is like, why are you so happy? And I go, because they know who we are now.
Oh.
So, yeah. That was big for us. To me, it was like validation. That's a big museum.
It's like,
and
we're on the map.
We're on the map. They're worried about us being around, which they shouldn't be.
But that's so true.
Nobody owns rock and roll. You know what I mean?
No.
We're here to promote. And the difference is, you'll see people like Led Zeppelin and the Beatles, and we're Illinois artists. We're specific to Illinois artists only. So yeah,
good for you guys. Why did you decide to be so specific? What was the determining factor?
Because we didn't live in Indiana. No, I'm kidding. Don't think that Illinois got its due respect. I think that when you go to New York, you think about music. Nashville has a beautiful country environment down there. L.A. now has a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame out there.
Do they really?
Yeah.
Did somebody else pick up on that too, another state?
Yeah. Actually, the first one that I knew of is I met with a gentleman who did one in Indiana, and he met with us as we just started this and wanted to know more about it. He brought one to fruition. I think it's located in somebody else's building, but they're starting that. Florida has one now. The Shadows of Night just got a hold of me recently and said, thank you for inducting us last year. Because of you, we got noticed by the new California Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
So
you can only help each other. You're not competing for exhibit display things.
No, not at all. No. And I think that's kind of my thoughts on business and everything is, you know, we're not competition. We're supposed to be working together on stuff. So maybe there's some exhibits we could share back and forth once in a while or do something. Yeah. I mean, there's one rock and roll museum that existed even before Cleveland that people may not know, and that's Iowa.
No way.
Arnold's Park. You can't get to it from here because
it's
a long haul. You can't get to it by flight. You can't get by train. I've been wanting to get up there, but they've been around, I think, oh my goodness, probably 5 or 10 years before Cleveland.
Does this still exist?
Yes, it still exists. And in fact, they improved and moved to a bigger building, and like they're doing well.
Is it out in the middle of nowhere, like Wall Drug?
I think so.
Really?
Yes.
Seriously?
Yeah. 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 You probably see a sign for Wall Drug if you're going there.
Well, that's got to be a tourism bounce that they're doing.
Yeah.
To be way out there.
And I've seen some of the people they've inducted, and you know, they stole a couple of our Illinois guys, but that's okay. It's all right. It's Iowa.
Although, like I've told people before, we could actually induct the Rolling Stones.
Okay.
Not from here.
How are you going to do that?
Because they recorded at Chess Records.
Oh, my.
So caveat.
Here's a deep dive for you. Here's a real deep dive for you. Rolling Stones. Where did they get their name from? Muddy Waters song, Rolling Stone. When they wrote, I Can't Get No Satisfaction, was the inspiration for that?
Yes.
I Can't Be Satisfied by Muddy Waters. So when we started this was going to be an exhibit at another museum. And, you know, the thesis I wrote was about how Illinois music has influenced the rest of the world. All our great blues artists, Willie Dixon wrote all those songs for Chess Records. The first Led Zeppelin album was just Willie Dixon music and maybe a few others, but he got credited on some and didn't get credited on others, but it was dead on Willie Dixon lyrics and music. It's time that people know about Illinois.
I would have had no clue. None.
Yeah.
To give you listeners an idea of some of the folks that have been inducted into the Illinois Rock and Roll Hall of Fame Museum is Chicago, Cheap Trick, Buddy Guy, Ides of March, Muddy Waters, REO Speedwagon, Styx, Chuck Berry, Sam Cooke, New Colony 6, John Prine, Crying Shames, Shadows of the Night, Miles Davis, Nat King Cole. I never knew Nat King Cole was from Illinois.
So he wasn't from Illinois. He was actually from Alabama. But he moved to the Bronzeville area, downtown Chicago, right by McCormick Center, around that area, yeah, by the lake.
Yeah.
Just south of there. As was Sam Cooke, as was Louis Armstrong, as was Minnie Riperton lived in that area.
Oh.
There were quite a few. Lou Rawls.
Wow.
So all those
You'll
people.
You'll never find.
Yeah. That Lou, deep voice you can't miss. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, that was a hotbed for that type of music. Sam Cooke's dad was a preacher, and he came up. He was actually recording gospel music under the name Sam Cooke, C-O-O-K, and to differentiate himself from that to rock and roll, he added an E on the end of his name.
Wow. I'm going to go deep on you in this one. This will establish Ron's knowledge.
Okay.
Okay, you ready for this one?
Mm-hmm.
I'm on the hot seat.
You remember, you mentioned Minnie Riperton.
Yes.
Do you know who her daughter is?
Maya Rudolph.
There you go. All right, we need to sort of... we need to
there
sort
was no
of,
hesitation there.
We need to sort of close this up because he sort of dropped the mic on me right there, didn't he?
I'm a good one to,
not
to be on your call.
Not literally, but figuratively, yeah. Yeah.
I'm a good call a friend if you're ever on that trivia show. And it's music.
And by the way, you're the president, so you should know stuff.
That's right.
I should know stuff.
That's, you should know stuff. Yeah. That's right. Well, Ron Romero, thank you very much for joining me. Debbie Jo Erickson, thank you so much for all your hospitality when we do the induction stuff. Eric, thanks for doing the engineering today. This has been an eye-opener, and I hope that this launches for people to participate, come to your events, pay attention, listen to your radio station, because you have a lot of arms out there, like your YouTube channel and stuff like that, because it's exciting. It's really, really cool. And thank you so much for sitting down and sharing the behind the scenes with storytellers.
Well, thank you for coming and visiting and taking the tour. Thank you for your charter membership. I want to show you your charter member. And I'm excited to see you here wearing your membership card.
I do.
He's got his lanyard on.
I do.
Yeah, thank you.
I do.
You're making this happen. Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Yep, we'll see you soon.
Thank you for joining us in the Storyteller Studio with Tim Larson, where everything begins with a story.